Track 12, A Homegrown Adventurer. In 1923, pioneering explorer and writer Lady Dorothy Mills became the first English woman to travel to Timbuktu. Her biographer gives us an insight into Dolly's extraordinary life.
In March 1889, Robert Horace Walpole, scion of the political and literary family, waited anxiously as his American wife Louise gave birth to their first child. That it was a girl was a slight disappointment for Walpole, who was heir to his uncle, the 4th Earl of Orford, and a son was necessary for succession purposes. What Walpole could not foresee was that Dolly, as she was known, would become a renowned female explorer in the 1920s and 30s, writing highly acclaimed travel books and sharing platforms with prominent men. The family's home county was Norfolk, with which the Walpoles had long been associated. Britain's first Prime Minister, Sir Robert Walpole of Houghton Hall, was Dolly's five times great uncle. In 1894, her father duly became the 5th Earl of Orford and inherited his uncle's estates. Walterton had been neglected, so until its restoration, they lived at Mannington. Dolly's was a typical upper-class upbringing in many ways, and often lonely. A younger brother died, aged 2, in 1893, and Dolly, inconveniently, remained the only child, absorbing the ignominy of being only a girl. Playing in Mannington's grounds, she dreamed of pirates and savages, of desert islands and hairbreadth escapes. Conventionality was tempered by her mother, a daughter of railroad magnate Daniel Trace Corbin, who encouraged Dolly in outdoor pursuits. Dolly's father had enjoyed an eventful career in the Royal Navy, and both parents were avid travellers, sometimes taking her with them. "The great expanse of the Far West, the grizzly bear in the Yellowstone Park," she wrote of the USA. "The Mormons of Salt Lake City, stories of hold-ups," fueled her sense of adventure. When she became a debutante, her wanderlust was held in check as she began to appreciate her heritage. But on May the 4th, 1909, at Walterton, life changed forever when her mother dropped dead at just 42. Now, 20-year-old Dolly became companion to her father. There were advantages. He took her on a world tour, the press labelling her the most travelled young woman of her age in the kingdom. Her poems and short stories were also being published. Ultimately, though, she was expected to make a good match. Unfortunately, in her father's eyes, the man she married in June 1916 did not fulfil that criterion. Captain Arthur Frederick Hobart Mills, aged 28, was a nephew of the Earl of Buckinghamshire and had everything except money, which was the problem. A career soldier, he was part of the British Expeditionary Force in France until he was shot and invalided home. The Earl refused to pay for the wedding and disinherited Dolly. In 1917, he himself married Gladys Oakes, 3 years younger than his daughter. Arthur would become a successful writer of adventure stories, but meanwhile returned to the war, leaving Dolly with financial worries. She was ill-equipped for anything useful and also realised that she needed to be something. Taking on journalistic work of every kind, her earnings helped at home and also financed the expeditions she dreamed for. For months each year, she would exchange the decadence of the jazz age in London for desert, jungle and bush, where she found great solace. Dolly had fallen in love with the Sahara whilst holidaying in Algeria. Her first expedition was in 1922 to Tunisia to stay with the reclusive cave dwellers. She would excel in observing different tribes. Those who accompanied her on her expeditions were people she hired locally as guides, porters and interpreters. She never travelled with close companions, not even Arthur, who undertook his own journeys to find writing material. They would reunite in their London flat, holiday together and then write and socialise. She never lost her love of donning a glamorous frock and downing a cocktail. She also firmly believed couples should maintain separate friends and interests, a point she made in her features for the emerging modern woman. Dolly also wrote 9 novels, including science fiction and the new genre of desert romances. In 1923, she became the first English woman to travel to Timbuktu. Chugging along sluggish rivers on rickety boats, she endured deadly heat, sickness, man-eating crocodiles, and a male pursuer with teeth filed to sharp points. That achievement, and the first of her six travel books, The Road to Timbuktu, cemented her reputation as an explorer and a travel writer. West Africa kept drawing her back. She explored French and Portuguese Guinea and wrote of the history of colonialism and of slavery. She was the first woman to cross Liberia to one of its most remotest points and the first white person some had seen. Certain places she explored, such as the Middle East, remain troubled today. After the Great War, changes to borders and regimes had created hostilities and uncertainty. Her itinerary in 1925 was potentially dangerous. Asia Minor, Syria, the Holy Land, Transjordan, Iraq. She witnessed history in the making when Lord Balfour opened the first Hebrew university in Tel Aviv. Her observations of the relationship between Jews and Arabs was prescient. In Iraq, she stayed with the persecuted Yazidi tribe, arriving via Aleppo in northern Syria and enduring a near ambush by brigands. She was frequently in the newspapers and featured in compendiums with male adventurers. But tribulations lay ahead. Her father still had no son to continue the earldom. With Gladys, he had two daughters, the survivor of whom, Lady Anne, was born in 1919. His nearest male relative was a young, distant cousin, Bobby Vade Walpole. In 1927, his health failing, the Earl decided to live in New Zealand. To avoid the worry of someone caretaking his estates, he signed them over to 15-year-old Bobby under trustees. One newspaper described this as one of the most curious transactions in the modern history of England's peerage. In August 1928, a heartbroken Dolly visited Walterton for the last time. "I said goodbye to the past, for others were coming to take possession of my birthright." In 1929, her reputation was at its height. But in London, in June, her taxi crashed, and she sustained severe injuries, which would trouble her intermittently for years. In 1930, she was elected an early female fellow of the Royal Geographical Society, the RGS. Finally fit enough in 1931, she spent 4 months exploring Venezuela by river and across 800 miles of challenging terrain, and was believed to be one of only two women who had explored the Orinoco generally. That year, the Earl died in New Zealand and was buried at Wickmere. Bobby inherited the baronetcies, and Gladys and Anne settled at Rosemore in Devon, which the Earl had bought. Although he left Dolly nothing, she could now access a trust fund set up by her grandfather, Corbin. However, her marriage ended and she retreated from the limelight, although her work was often quoted. On her death in 1959, her ashes were scattered at her request off the coast at Weybourne. She left a legacy for a young woman member of the RGS to use for an explorative enterprise. Since then, with no one close enough to keep her memory alive, Dolly has been overlooked. Yet her curiosity, her courage and sense of humanity showed the world extraordinary places and peoples, focusing always on what draws us together rather than what divides us. Jane Dismore's book, No Country for a Woman, The Adventurous Life of Lady Dorothy Mills, Explorer and Writer, is published on the 20th of March by the History Press.